Dr. Melanie Lipman from Rhode Island Hospital and the Miriam Hospital. You're an emergency room physician. Thank you so much for joining me. When it comes to opioid overdoses or patients who come in with opioid addiction issues, what are your emergency departments doing right now when it comes to discharge planning?
Sure. So I think it varies across the state and, of course, across the country, what is available at various emergency departments. But at our emergency departments, for example, at Miriam or at Rhode Island Hospital, Newport as well, we do have a number of resources that are available to patients. So when they present to the emergency department with their permission, they will see a peer recovery coach that can talk to them about their drug use and can also help them get connected with detox programs, whether this is inpatient or outpatient. We talk to them about the use of naloxone, which is the rescue medication for drug overdose. They can receive the patient and their family member who may be present with them in the emergency department or friends can receive training on the proper use of naloxone. Mm-hmm. And the patients and their friends and family can go home with a naloxone kit that would be the rescue medication to reverse an overdose if that were to happen. Mm-hmm. They can also learn about medication-assisted therapy that they might want to start on to further their recovery, such as things like Suboxone or methadone. We can get them hooked up with methadone or Suboxone clinics if that is something that they had wanted. Mm-hmm. So these are all of the resources that we try to accomplish for the patients while they're in the emergency department.
And now the state has put forth new guidelines, new standards for hospitals to follow when discharging patients with substance abuse disorders, particularly opioid abuse disorders. Can you walk us through some of the major highlights of those standards, what every hospital is going to have to do before discharging a patient?
So many of the things that we talked about already that we are doing and many places are doing already will now be standardized throughout the state. And patients will need to be offered resources if they are interested in recovery options. Mm-hmm. There is a statewide hotline that patients can get in touch with if they want additional resources. But there will be discharge information made available to all patients about additional referrals to detox, rehab, medication-assisted therapy for all patients at all emergency departments.
Mm-hmm. You're also going to offer to contact the patient's emergency contact, maybe a family member, for example.
Correct.
And the patient can refuse that if they want.
Mm-hmm. We attempt to contact all the patient's primary care physicians so that they are aware and would be a next step for follow-up. And yes, with the patient's permission, we would offer to contact their immediate next of kin or their emergency contact to further ensure that the patients will have all the help that they need.
But you said the two hospitals you work with are already doing many of these things. Mm-hmm. Do we need state sponsored guidelines or state mandated guidelines?
Well, I think the state should be complimented for their interest in standardizing procedures across the state. And while many hospitals are already doing these efforts, I think it is a noble effort to ensure that the standard of care is being brought up to at least the level that patients are being given the resources that they need.
Mm-hmm. Are these standards feasible to implement? Emergency departments, as you know, can be very busy places. Do you have the resources? Can you fulfill these guidelines?
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, emergency departments can be chaotic places, as you know, but fortunately we have a large team, and between the doctors, the nurses, the social workers, our peer recovery counselors, who are also very instrumental to this problem, I think we do have all of the people and the resources that we mm-hmm. need to take care of these patients.
What about resources on the outside? Part of this discharge planning will involve referring patients who want to be referred to recovery resources, inpatient recovery, detox, as you said, medication that can help people withdraw safely from opioids or maintain their recovery from opioid addiction. Do we have the resources we need to refer people, or is that a concern?
Yeah, I think continuing to work on the network to link existing programs and to further make that pathway a little bit more easily navigable for patients. It is a challenge for a patient to navigate that pathway on their own, and to link up the resources that exist is still a challenge that I think is needs to continue. We need to continue to work on that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Insurance providers, I think, are a second element to that. And sometimes obtaining pre-authorization from an insurance provider, mm-hmm. Suboxone, which is a great medication for maintaining recovery for patients who have a history of opiate use, can be expensive. And for the state to continue to work on obtaining, making this medication affordable and covered by insurance providers is another element that I think is important.
Right, because you could have all the best planning in the world, but if the resources aren't there on the other side for a patient, you know, it's not going to help that
exactly.
much.
Exactly. So working on that network, I think, is another priority. Mm-hmm. True.
And speaking of helping, do you think a better discharge plan, a more standardized discharge plan for patients with opioid abuse disorders will help more people with addiction get into treatment?
I think that could. I think that depending on where you go, you might be given different amounts of information or different quality of information. You may or may not get more help doing that, or you may be left to do more of this on your own. And so I think bringing up a statewide standard to make sure everyone at least gets the basic resources that they need and a little extra help getting connected with those resources will be of use.
And before I let you go, I just want to talk a little bit about what hospitals are doing to prevent patients from coming in having overdosed accidentally on opioids. You've changed your guidelines around prescribing opioid medications to begin with. That's how a lot of people start down the path of opioid addiction. They have an injury, they go to the emergency department, they get prescribed prescription painkillers, Vicodin, whatever it might be, and sometimes they get hooked from that experience. Is that another way that hospitals can contribute to kind of stemming this addiction and overdose epidemic?
Sure. I think hospitals do have access to a prescription drug monitoring program where a patient's past prescriptions for controlled substances would be available to providers. And keeping in mind to whom you're prescribing and the risks associated with these medications, I think is certainly a conversation that is worth having with patients and I think is certainly in the mind of all providers these days.
I want to thank you, Dr. Melanie Lipman with Rhode Island Hospital and the Merriam Hospital, for coming in to talk with us about this.
Thank you very much for having me.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.